What's up, you guys? Sean Ross App, FightfulSelect.com. Giving you my AEW Full Gear 2020 review. Now, I am filming this in between matches as the show goes on. We're kicking off the event with, obviously, some videos from the buy-in, the red carpet, all that good stuff. With the first match up, Sienna, Allison Kay against Serena Deeb. It is so wild to think that Serena Deeb didn't wrestle for years because she's really good. And everything she does looks good. Like, from her gear looking good. By the way, Allison Kay's blue gear also looked awesome. They both looked like stars. But all the physical work inside the ring was so good from Serena Deeb. Almost everything she does, like, her selling is really good. Allison Kay, she's now free agent. This is a big opportunity for her. My only qualm was, like, you could see her call spots here and there. But, I mean, that's going to happen when you haven't worked with somebody before. There was a choke bomb spot from Allison Kay that I just loved. It flattened Serena Deeb. So, I mean, that was probably the spot of the match for me. And really, anytime Serena Deeb threw offense, like, she really throws it at somebody. And she's smaller than a lot of the women on the roster. So I think she knows she can probably get away with laying that stuff in. And I'm glad that she does because it looks really good. I cannot put over Serena Deeb's offense enough. It's hard hitting. It's great. She wins with the Tequila Sunrise. There's a good double clothesline spot as well. And then after the match, Thunder Rosa shows back up and gets in Serena Deeb's face. I am all for this. I love Thunder Rosa. I think she's going to become one of the most powerful women in wrestling. Probably within the next year. I think she already is one of the most powerful women in wrestling outside of WWE. But this is very cool. I do think it's a little bit weird that the NWA women's division gets more story time on AEW than the AEW women's division does. That is a very unusual thing, and they get featured really heavily. But I'm all for it. I like Thunder Rosa. I like Serena Deeb. I like Allison Kay, too. But Thunder Rosa is one of the best in the world. The fact that they started this pay-per-view off with a no-time-limit top contender tournament final, my God. This was one of the matches that I looked at, and I was like, this could main event a pay-per-view if they wanted, even as a top contender tournament final, because of the build that they had for this program. Months and months and months, even as a tag team, such a natural, easy, awesome build had Hangman Page and Kenny Omega that benefited both men, that reminded you that Kenny Omega was a mega single star and took Page out of that picture for a while when he wasn't going to land there in the way that they wanted, and now he will. Amazing the way that they crafted this. Amazing the way that this worked. And you want to talk about a pay-per-view opener. I don't know that I've been as excited for a pay-per-view opener in, I can't remember when. This match, I thought, was going to go longer. I did feel like they left a little bit of something there, but I think there was a reason for that. I think eventually this headlines a pay-per-view. I think eventually this is going to be a main event pay-per-view match, and probably for the title, and they needed to leave a little bit of something there. They got physical early. Omega sells his knee after an Asai moonsault. There are great moves. Double underhook pile drivers, power bombs on the ramp, and the finish was the buckshot lariat missing, several V-triggers, and Omega clean with a one-winged angel. About 14 and a half, 15 minutes. I did not think it was going to be that short. I thought it was going to be 25 minutes, 20 at least. And I'm okay with it not being that. I don't need this show to go 4 hours. It was really good. It was an awesome opener. It was clean. Hangman Page is just as over in that loss as he was going into this match. Omega is reestablished as a main event guy. I don't really have anything bad to say about it. A little short, but that's okay because based on AEW's booking, I believe they'll go back to this later, and I believe it'll main event a pay-per-view. John Silver, Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy won. This was originally set for the buy-in, but they moved it to the main card. It got a lot of buzz. Then they put Serena Deeb and Allison Kay on the buy-in. I think this actually would have been better featured on the buy-in. Then you could have had a second women's title match on the main card I think that would have been a better job of previewing this show and featuring women on the pay-per-view. This was okay. John Silver's really great. He's so funny. Orange Cassidy is a blast as well. But this one was, it was just okay. Silver did his great tornado bomb. He ripped the pockets out of Orange Cassidy's pants, but Cassidy got that win with an orange punch and a beach break. Not a lot more to this. This could have been on the buy-in and featured better. AEW TNT Championship. Cody is out, and he is announced as Cody Rhodes. He lied. He said it was for mainly peripheral media, like doing other stuff on TNT and TBS and stuff like that. But, I mean, I don't blame him. Just use it if he can. Why not? Justin Roberts screaming that name was pretty awesome. And Cody had a huge entourage with him. I did not expect Darby Allin to win this match. I definitely didn't. And he's your new AEW TNT champ. This was a good match. There was a lot of one-upsmanship early on. Again, shorter than I had anticipated, but that's good. They needed to pace these pay-per-views better. These matches do not need to be 20, 25 minutes each. They don't. Shorter can be better. It leaves more on there. Cody Rhodes has some really great offense. The Bam Bam Bomb, the Press Slam. He did an Avalanche Crossroads that looked really amazing, but I want to put over specifically that Darby Allin didn't kick out of that. I don't want to see Darby Allin kicking out of the regular Crossroads, much less one on the top rope. What happened was Darby just rolled, whether it be a second nature or just him thinking of doing it. He rolled to where he would be underneath the plane. He would break the plane. That way you don't got to kick out of it. That way it doesn't bury the move. You got Cody Rhodes there looking, doing an incredible move. And knowing that it could have put him away if it were just in the middle of the ring, but that wasn't how it was. I love that. I love when you can do a finish and it doesn't end the match, but the person doesn't kick out of it because it keeps the move looking strong, and I thought they did really good here. Another great spot. Cody takes off his weight belt, and Allin grabs it and trips him with it, does the Last Supper, does the coffin drop, but only gets a two. So at that point, I'm thinking, oh, typical wrestling, you know, he's not going to win now. We know that. We know how that works out. They sold me a ticket. They swerved me. They got me. And I'm never happier than when that happens because I was legitimately surprised when they're reversing pins and then Darby Allin gets one. Awesome. I love being excited about this stuff. I love things that I didn't expect to happen happening. Cody Rhodes' TNT title run was short, and that's okay. It's okay to have short title reigns. Sometimes the title changes hands in short order. Cody had the shortest TNT title reign ever, 31 days. Darby Allin's the champ now. After this match, you have Taz come out and distract both of them while Ricky Starks and Cage beat them up and Arn Anderson. But they both grab the title, so you see a little bit of dissension there. They're about to take out Darby Allin, I think, like, on his car, but Will Hobbs runs them off. I really like this. This was good stuff. Also, I want to say that I thought that Cody having the entourage and Darby having nobody really added to Darby's character. And really added to Cody's, too. It was such a great contrast there. To have Darby just by himself, fighting for himself, he is that loner, and Cody with all that support, with a growing Nightmare family. Also, anybody that compares Cody Rhodes to Triple H, like in 03 or anything like that, I mean, you're going to have to get lost with that one. Cody has helped put over and build MJF, Brody Lee, and Darby Allin all since February of this year. And I'm pretty sure he was gone for like a month or two as well, so... AEW Women's title match. This was not for me. So Sheeta gets her leg worked over pretty heavily. Like at one point, Nyla uses a leg claw and Sheeta fights back one-legged. But there were spots in this match that I just didn't get. And it undermined the whole thing for me. Nyla, in a world title match, when she's barely been featured on TV... Let Sheeta up. That does not make any sense. I don't care. She's not Umaga. She's not some person that's detached from reality and her senses. She has been world champion before. This does not make any sense. Let her up. And then afterwards, I know what they were going for. I know they were like, oh, well, Sheeta's a badass because she's doing it too. No, it doesn't make any sense. It does not make any sense to do that within a world championship match. It completely undermined it for me. Totally. Then Vicky whiffs on tripping up Sheeta. And by then I was like, oh, God. There's a bad bump on Vicky outside. And Sheeta wins it with knees. Letting each other up in a world championship match, again, undermines the importance of the championship to me. Ain't no reason I'm doing that if a championship's on the line. And they had not built this match up accordingly to make me believe there was enough bad blood to where they're like, ah, I'll let them up so I can inflict more punishment. Or to prove a point. You proved the point by winning the match. I did not like that at all. A shame, because I like both of these women in the ring. Vicky yells at Nyla after the match, but this one was not for me. I'm ready to see this women's title featured more. And honestly, I'm ready to see it go on Britt Baker at this point. And then you develop characters around her. She is very clearly the most colorful character in this women's division and can help elevate people on an interest level and a personality level. Let's get that rocking. The match I thought was going to main event at one point, FTR against the Young Bucks, AEW tag team titles. If Young Bucks lose, they can't challenge for the title. Matt Jackson coming in with a banged up wheel, had to get a cortisone shot. This was a love letter to tag team wrestling. A lot of finishes, 3D, DIYs finish, Steiner Brothers, heart attack, like a lot of finishes from the history of tag team wrestling in this match, and I just thought it was beautiful. Cash Wheeler even did like a Big E YOLO dive at one point after the Steiner DDT, or the Steiner Bulldog, I think it was. Oh my God, it was just so much fun. Now, there was a spot where Dax hurt his hand, and he had to go outside and get it taped up. Later on, he'd connect with that right hand and sell it really hard while he got super kicked. Just a lot of fun, creative spots. Dash using a super kick, which I did not expect to see. There was a spot that I particularly enjoyed. Dax was begging Matt Jackson to hit him with a chair, because then he would win, and then Young Bucks could never challenge for those tag titles again. So Matt was like, nah, not doing that. And Nick tries to help out, but he gets powerbombed like sickly over that table. I thought he was going to mess up his neck or something there. It was really filthy. You get the spike pile driver that hits, but it doesn't get the job done. Then we got Cash Wheeler throwing out super kicks all over the place. And he thinks he's about to put Matt out of his misery. Matt's lost his boot. He's hurting, it looks like. But Matt ends up super kicking him and pinning it. I liked a lot of the out-of-nowhere finishes that were happening on tonight's show. This one was expertly set up, though, because Cash Wheeler went for a a springboard 450. He went against no flips, just fists, and it got him beat. Oh, that was so funny. It was so funny, so good. Elite Deletion. Wow. This was less cinematic than some other ones, but I thought a different style. This was brutal and hardcore. Hardy was in a monster truck. He used a scepter when he's being drowned in a fountain. They had a full AEW ring set up there, kind of like Ultimate Deletion. But Santana and Ortiz jumped in, and then so did Private Party. I thought it was a good way to get them on the show and start a feud between them. There were some good suplexes from the former LAX. Matt Hardy doing things to Sammy Guevara and Sammy running away will never get old to me. I think that's funny. I think that'll be a great callback in the future whenever they do that again. He's shooting fireworks at him. Out of nowhere, Gangrel pops up, and he was, I guess, Sammy's first mentor, and he's got Shane Helms there. Now, this is a continuation of House Hardy Halloween. Shane Helms was left there back then, and he said, why didn't you come and help me before then? And Hardy goes, I had to come to AEW to make that happen. It's long-term storytelling. I thought that was very funny. Hurricane gets thrown in the lake, comes back as Gregory Helms, comes back as the Hurricane. Everybody's brawling. Hardy and Sammy go into the dome, and Sammy does a swanton off a ladder through a table, and they redo a version of the all-out spot. Hardy eventually wins with a one-man concrete concerto. That was a nasty finish. This was a really physical match. It looked like a lot of receipts doled out, but this was, I thought, pretty fun. I had a lot of fun watching this, and Matt deserved a win after all the shit he's been through throughout all this, and I'm sure Sammy was happy to do it. Sammy isn't hurt at all in a loss here, but I thought it was fun. It was not the same as all the other deletion matches. It was a lot different. It was more physical than those. But I don't think that's a bad thing. You adapt, you change, and that's what they did here. Private Party helped Matt Hardy take out the trash, so to speak, put Sammy in a dump or a trash can, and Senior Benjamin drove him off. You've got Rebby there as well. I enjoyed this. MJF defeated Chris Jericho to get in the inner circle. Jericho, like every time that he comes out, of course they sing Judas, but this was the first one that felt like they had a full crowd, and they didn't. It was a very sparse crowd, but it felt special. MJF has a Jericho-esque jacket, and his cockiness got in the way early on. Like, that was the story, was that he sort of learned a lesson throughout this match and showed that despite that cockiness, he can still get things done. There was a funny spot where MJF screamed, "Oh, shit," while getting back body dropped. And he dodged a Judas effect, and Jericho hit his elbow, and that led to the story of the rest of the match. Jericho getting his elbow worked over. MJF caught a Judas effect and did a Fujiwara armbar. The finish was very clever. MJF called for his ring from Wardlow, and he missed. Jericho calls for his bat from Hager, but MJF just falls on his back like he got hit. So Jericho's arguing with the ref, and MJF rolls him up for the win. There was a lot that happened, a lot of throws, a lot of misses, a lot of spots, but they gave you enough time to process everything that was going on. MJF also had the tights, which you see on the replay, which I thought was cool. A very clever finish. I thought it was a good way to tie that in. And Jericho welcomes MJF and Wardlow to the inner circle. I'm interested to see where this goes. AEW is pretty good at setting stuff up for the coming weeks, even on their pay-per-views. I mean, even had Lance Archer and Jake Roberts not happy about not being on the show. You got Miro and Kip yelling at the best friends in OC. Kip says, "Hey, apologize to my girlfriend for knocking her over," or whatever it was. And OC was like, "I'm sorry," which is a babyface move. In WWE, the babyface probably would have just trolled the woman that he knocked over. But then he gets slapped, and he's like, "No, no, no, it's cool. I probably deserved that." I don't think he's even said he deserved it. He was just like, "It's cool." This was a very cohesive show. I use that term a lot with AEW. A very cohesive show. AEW World Championship match. I didn't really want this rematch a few weeks ago, and they sold me. They sold me so hard on this. Eddie Kingston, so good at a promo, and that's what a promo is supposed to do. If there's somebody on the fence about whether or not they want to see a match, promos are supposed to promote the match and change minds. Eddie Kingston and Jon Moxley changed my mind. God damn, they're so good. There was a big fight feel for this. They're knocking the shit out of each other. No rules, which, you know, suits both of these guys just fine. Eddie breaks a bulldog choke by biting Moxley, and there's like a gnarly roll into the barricade. They're out grabbing weapons. However, the match itself, in all, was not quite for me. I'm not big on this style of wrestling. Lots of barbed wire, lots of chairs, that's fine. Barbed wire, thumbtacks, not really my jam usually. Moxley applied the bulldog choke with the barbed wire, and Kingston quits. There was a good spot where Kingston used barbed wire and then poured rubbing alcohol on Moxley. I thought that was very creative. But it was okay. It was just a little anticlimactic for me. Maybe I thought that it was going to be Kingston's night. Maybe I just thought that it would be a little faster paced or something, or just a little bit different. For historical value, though, I think you should watch it. If you notice on my match ratings, basically, I start at a 5. If it gets to a 6, because I want to enjoy everything that I watch, if it gets to a 6, I think you should watch it. It's me telling you, go ahead and watch this match, or at least what I would recommend. For historical value alone, I think it's worth watching, because it was a pay-per-view main event, title match. They built it very, very well. Afterwards, Kenny Omega came out and didn't get face-to-face with Moxley, but did kind of look him in the eye. I know a lot of people thought that we were going to reenact the Double or Nothing finish, but that did not happen. All in all, I thought that Full Gear was a really good pay-per-view. There were no matches that I'm looking at and saying, well, match of the year. But Kenny Omega and Hangman Page was good. The highly anticipated tag match was good. We had 2 title changes. You had Thunder Rosa coming back, a good NWA title match. I want to see Shida move on. Britt Baker should be champion. I would like to see that, and then maybe they could develop something there. Elite Deletion was a lot of fun. MJF joined the Inner Circle. Stuff happened on this show. I want to thank you guys so much for joining me. Reminder, Wednesday Night War, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. I am now hosting that show. It is a very digestible 60-70 minutes. Until next time, we're out.